Whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. Let's stand up and get ready to worship this morning. I'm so excited to worship this morning, y'all. I'm just beyond excited. But anyway, we have a God that does everything for a reason. And He doesn't make a mistake when He does it. You might not like it the way He does some things, but it all turns out good in the end.
You do everything on purpose. And I can feel your spirit stir. I've been praying, you've been working, working it all for good. So fan the flame and keep it burning, 'cause you're refining. Open door after open door, here it comes. So get ready for another one, 'cause another one is on the way. Miracle after miracle, open door after open door, here it comes. So get ready for another one, 'cause another one is on the way.
Again and again and again. Resurrection a one-time thing, but he can do it again. He can resurrect that dead situation. He can resurrect that broken relationship, that broken heart. He can settle that confused mind. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands all over this room as we lift this worship to our God?
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall.
Yeah.
For
for you have never failed me. Yes, Lord. And waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Yes, Lord. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
The mountain.
some of us this morning have forgotten. Have forgotten and felt like that the resurrection was it. The resurrection was the last great thing that Jesus was gonna do. That was the closest it would ever get for you, because your life situations don't look that way. Your heartbreak still feels fresh. Your insecurities are still overtaking you. They still feel like they're winning. But I'm reminded of a God whose faithfulness is great, whose promise still stands. And here's the thing about the Lord and his promises. The work is not complete until the promise is. And so this morning, if your situation doesn't look like the thing that God promised you, can I submit to you this morning that he's just not through with it? That there's still work to be done. There's still purpose to be produced. There's still glory to be gained. Your life is not just another thing. It's not just an accident. It's not just something he chose to do. It's something that he chose to do because there's glory attached to it. There's a glory that has to come from our suffering. There's a glory that has to come from our crucifixion. Because one of these days, a resurrection's gonna happen. One of these days, you're gonna come alive again. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days, you've gotta get back up. One of these days, you've gotta get back up. One of these days, you're gonna get back in the fight. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days, this promise is still faithful. This promise is still true to you this morning.
He'll never forget it. He'll never forget it.
Yes, Lord.
You'll never forget it. Yeah. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me.
faithfulness this morning. Are you thankful for the faithfulness of God? I want to tell you how faithful He is. Jesus came from heaven to earth, and He lived in this world that you and I live because of His love for us. The God who created Adam and Eve, even when they messed up, He said, "You know what? I have a plan. I have a plan." And for all the many years that humans have been on this planet, God remained faithful to His plan. And so He said, "You know what? People aren't perfect. They can't do this on their own. But you know what? I will come from heaven myself, and I will take the yoke upon myself, and I will carry that burden, and I will die on a cross, tortured and beaten for the sake of the people that I love." God is faithful to you and to me. It says that they ripped out His beard. They spat upon Him. They humiliated Him before people. They hung Him on a cross until He suffocated and bled to death and died for you and for me. And just to make sure, absolutely certain that He was dead, that this man who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, that there was no earthly life left in Him, they put a spear in His side, and out flowed blood and water. And the Bible says that they laid Him in a tomb. And on the third day, this is what happened. Are you ready for this? You know the story. Are you ready for this? Luke chapter 24 verse 1 says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." Come on, somebody. "But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." They didn't find Him. "And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, because He has risen.'" Come on, He has risen from the grave. Can we lift up a shout to the risen King, the Savior, Almighty God, who gave His life and conquered death, defeated the grave. Come on, worship team. He defeated the grave, and He is alive and well, and His life flows in you and flows in me. Come on, worship Him.
how the story ends. Cause in 3 days he rose again. That's love. Oh, that's love. Cause you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth.
By faith
you paid from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky.
Lord, I
today for your faithfulness. God, we thank you that your promise still stands, that you were the same yesterday and today and forever. What you did yesterday, you will do today. You will do it again. And so we thank you for your faithfulness today, God. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Father. We thank you for the name Jesus Christ, that there is no other name under heaven by which people must be saved. And so we call on that name, Jesus, today. Would you continue to move in our hearts, oh God? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? I pray that those who are here today who have not yet met you, or those who have walked away, Lord, that they would get right with you today, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. Move in our midst, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Can you give God a big shout of praise on this Easter Sunday? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you thankful for this worship team this morning? Didn't they do an incredible job? Wow, I am so blessed to be among the believers today. Just look around you. Isn't it so good to see the house packed out today? If this is your first time with us, we want to get to know you, and we'd like to invite you to meet us in the foyer after the service at the Welcome Center so that we can give you a personal welcome to our church. And happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. What a beautiful sunrise service we had this morning down at Beechwood. The service was amazing. The music was beautiful. The reenactment of the Easter story gets better and better every year. And so if you were thankful for that this morning, can we just thank the Shamley family in Beechwood? What an awesome job you did. Thank you for that. Well, we have one quick announcement this week. We are continuing in our series, Wednesday Worship and Word, where you can come out and experience worship with others in the body of Christ and get a midweek teaching. And for the next several weeks, Pastor Wallace is going to be teaching on different topics and really pouring into us so that we can have a solid foundation. Do you believe that teaching is important, that understanding, studying to show yourself approved matters? And so make sure that you make time in your schedule for that this week. That's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Well, we are going to continue to worship the Lord with our giving. And we've started a new way of giving here at Carpenter Shop. Many of you are familiar with it by now. It's called Kingdom Builders, where we are every week sowing into missions, sowing into special projects here in the church. We have renovations coming up, and that is an opportunity for you to give above and beyond your tithe. The Bible calls us to give a tithe. That's 10% to the Lord. And the Bible also says, he who gives sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who gives generously will also reap generously. I don't know about you, but I want my bucket to be full, pressed down, good measure, shaken together, and running over. Is that you this morning? Oh, is that you this morning? Okay. And so this is your opportunity to experience that blessing by giving of your substance to the Lord. And there are several ways to do that. You can scan the QR code that's right behind me. That's the easiest way. You scan it, you click the little link that pops up, go to the website, and follow through the prompts that are there. There are several other ways to give that are on the screen. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And you can make your way forward to bring your offering and drop it in the buckets. But let's pray before we give. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blessing that you promised us. Lord, that when we give, you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. And so we thank you in advance for that blessing today. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box, or go to csicministries.com. God bless you as you give. Let's worship the Lord.
God bless you. It's a very, very simple song, very meaningful song. You are Alpha and Omega. That means you're my beginning, that middle piece, and you bring me right on back home. You are Alpha.
And all. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet this morning and give the Lord a clap offering today. Come on. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just in this building. Come on. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Come on, high five somebody before you're seated. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All ye people, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, come on. Glory to God. Come on, worship Him. Hallelujah. He got up out of the grave, y'all. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. On the way to church this morning, Pastor Joy was reading a little update on the news, you know. And she read a post from Focus Church today. Pastor Ed and Yvette Clemens. Yvette said, "Our church is singing Total Praise today. Got to make sure my wig is glued down, y'all. Come on." Total Praise. Y'all are a mess, you know. Happy Easter. If you take some of this energy and join me today at 5 o'clock, we're going to see the Wolfpack beat the Dukies today. Come on, y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, Lord. All the glory. Listen, that's such an appropriate song because, and I thank God for a worship director who always synchronizes with what the Holy Spirit is saying. I don't even have to say, "Hey, I'm preaching on this, I'm preaching on that." Most of the time, they'll just hit the bullseye. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Really, today's message is entitled, what's it entitled, y'all, social media people? Debtors. Debtors. Because you know what? It's not just, you're not just here today to punch the card or check the box. Come on. You don't come to church just to check the box. I did it this week. Because Christianity is about every day, y'all. Every day. Every day. Every day. It's not check the block. Those people are going to be so shocked. "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. I don't know you." We've got to incorporate this Jesus experience to every fiber of our being, okay? I'm glad you're here. In fact, I'm glad a lot of you didn't come today. We had 170 plus at Beechwood this morning for the sunrise, and when I saw the crowd coming this morning, I thought, "Oh boy, we're going to be in a mess today." But you know what? We've got enough room for all of you, and I'm glad you're here. I concur with you, Pastor Noli. What a time this morning. What a time this morning. Incredible reenactment. Absolutely. Just a great job. Great breakfast. Wow. That's why I'm just kind of waiting, y'all. I got to get this biscuit to go down somewhere. It's got one stuck right here on the side. Gravy running off on this side. But we're going to get there. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the joy of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to assemble in this place. Thank you for the nations of the earth joining us today by way of television. Lord, we just don't take that lightly. We thank you, God, that this broadcast moves throughout the earth. And we thank you for that. I pray blessings upon the nations of the earth today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. One more time for the worship team, y'all. Give it up for them. Hey, don't forget, after the service today, don't forget, Dorothy has set us up a photo booth, y'all. It's a beautiful little spot out there in the hallway. Make sure you back up there and get your family's picture. Now, take out your iPhone. If you got an Android, that'll work too, but if you got an iPhone, just use that, okay? Better pictures, all right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm believing God today to speak to us, and I know He will. He spoke to my heart. As I prayed about today, what do you do? What do you say on Easter Sunday? I mean, there's a group of people who've gathered, and I don't take today for granted. I know that there are people here who are hurting. Amen. There are people here who are struggling in this life and this society, this toxic culture that we live in. And so, you know, we take this very seriously. I think Pastor Joy asked me Saturday. We were away in Alaska, so I was struggling with some from jet lag, y'all. Come on. And thanks for praying for us. Last week's revival was incredible among the natives there in Alaska. Had four great services. God moved powerfully. And we could feel your prayers. We had several people just touched and healed by the power of God. We had people filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just hungry for righteousness, hungry for the things of God. And we had 2 days just to try to take in that country, that countryside, the beautiful 49th state, the last frontier, they call it. And it was a beautiful experience. And then flying back, but you get off the plane and you're just like in brain fog. Amen. So I started just studying the Word on preparing for Sunday. And I think I started at 10 o'clock in the morning and went to bed at 1 a.m. And just hours and hours of, you know, God just speaking to me, giving me a download for today. I'm going to preach it in about 30 minutes or so. And you're going to say, you spent all that time for that? Well, you just don't understand. There's something about sermon preparation and preparing for the ministry that God has before you in a given week, that just, it requires a lot of just interaction with the Holy Spirit. It does. And I don't take that for granted. I really don't. I take it very seriously. And I listened to the songs today. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way. A sacrifice. My what? The words Corey said today, I thought, wow, that's not even on the list. My what? My debt to pay. The title of my message today is what? Debtors. Debtors, my debt to pay. And so God is going to speak to us today. And then at the end of the service, we're going to have a time around the altar where you can come. And if you're sick, we want to pray for you to be healed. If you're discouraged, we want to pray for the power of God to touch you and bring light and inspiration to you. If you're lost, we want to pray that God will just bring you into the fold, to the kingdom. If maybe you wandered away from God, we just want you to come back. Come back home. Amen. Debtors, a resurrection challenge. I'd like to read one verse of scripture this morning that I'm going to use as, it's, I guess, what preachers call a springboard sometimes, just kind of diving board, just kind of jump overboard right there. And you're going to hear the verse and you're going to say, man, what's that have to do with Easter? Okay? Just hang with me. By the time we get to the end, we're going to sew it all up together and you'll understand, okay? One verse of scripture from the lips of Paul to the church at Rome, chapter 8, verse 12. Reading from two translations, first the NIV. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Somebody say obligation. We have an obligation, but the obligation that we have is what? Not to the flesh. Flesh is natural. Flesh is easy. Flesh can get ugly, can't it? Come on. Flesh can tear up relationships. Flesh can result in separations and divorce. Flesh can get you slapped upside your head before you even know what's going on. You're not indebted to the flesh. That just comes natural. You're not indebted to it to live according to it. King James Version, I chose that for a reason. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Let me pray one more time. Father, today we say thank you for the very height of days of celebration for us, Lord, in which we celebrate the resurrection from the grave. This Easter Sunday, God, we are grateful. We are grateful people, grateful for the life we have through the life you lived. The life that you gave for us, dying in our place, dying for us. Your brutal death, Lord, by the Romans on the cross of Calvary, satisfied the blood sacrifice for our sins. All of us, all who receive that sacrifice, Lord, are brought near or brought into right relationship with you. And for that, we're thankful. Isaiah prophesied it, Lord. He said, the punishment that brought us peace was upon your back, and by your stripes we're healed. So today, Lord, receive our worship as we take this moment to give you glory, to give you praise as we've so ably sung it today, that's due your name. You're the one born for the sins of humanity. You're the spotless Lamb of God. You're the Savior of the world. You're the suffering servant. You're the risen King. So have your way among us. Save the lost, heal the sick, deliver the oppressed. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Well, today my mind wanders back today to a conversation that I had with my elder son. Josh is 40 years old. And I enjoy connecting with him on FaceTime. Amen? How many of y'all appreciate FaceTime? Those of you who have relatives that live a long ways away like I do. FaceTime's a good thing, you know. It just puts you up close and personal, at least on the phone or an iPad or something. I had a conversation with him. I spoke to him a couple of occasions this week. And it went something like this. He went, hey, Pops. I said, hey, what's up, man? He said, what a week. Oh, I'm like, wow. This guy's, you can see it all over him. Thank God that you can see the person you're talking to. What a week. What a week. And he went on to describe events leading up to that very stressful series of days for him, to which I replied, I've got a good sense of humor, y'all. I said, hey, yeah, sounds like a tough week. What a week for Jesus. In other words, shut up, okay? He was complaining about the week, and I said, hey, what a week for Jesus. He said, yeah, I know, right? But then we talked, you know, he got some things off his chest, I got some things off mine. He hung up on me. No, I'm just kidding. We just talked. And I said, really, man, what a week for Jesus. And so I began to just reflect about the week for Jesus. This past week, this is called, what, Holy Week. It's Holy Week. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday. I joined you because Alaska's 4 hours behind us. So I was in church with you last Sunday when Pastor Nolly preached a profound word on praise. Amen? Just incredible word on praise. And it was powerful. Palm Sunday. That was last Sunday. For Jesus, the same. Palm Sunday, a day commemorating his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, sitting on the back of a poor man's animal, coming in on a donkey, y'all, a beast of burden, better yet, a colt. He fulfilled the prophetic word of Zechariah the prophet, who described Jesus years and years ago, who described Jesus coming in to the holy city as a symbol of humility, a symbol of humility, far, far, far from what they were expecting. They wanted a very militant man, a guy who could push all the right buttons and relieve them from Roman oppression. They wanted to fight, y'all. They wanted to just bring this thing to a close. And then Monday comes, and Jesus comes into the temple And he cleanses the temple. He emphasizes the purity and the sanctity of God's house. How many of y'all remember when God's house was a place of real respect? Come on. I just touched a nerve with y'all, didn't I? How many of you remember when, listen, you just don't do that in the house of God? And I think the church is coming back to a sense of reverence for the house of God. There's some, listen, I know the whole worship culture's changed, and some of y'all visitors probably saying, man, why they smoke this place up like that? Okay? Because the Bible says heaven was filled with this atmosphere. So, no, I'm just kidding y'all. So, we try to create an atmosphere that's just conducive to people relaxing and enjoying worship. And that's just a part of it. Okay? You say, why do they do that? Because I ask them to. Okay? All right? So are you better with that now? Okay. I like it. All right? I like the colors. I like the movement. I like the feel during the worship experience. And so Jesus comes in, and Jesus, he sees some things he don't like. Okay? He sees tables set up outside, and people have turned the temple into a place of business. He just turned the tables upside down, and he told the money changers, you got to get on up out of here. You're not going to stay here like this. And Jesus said, you've turned the house of prayer into a den of robbers. And he was setting a precedent for, here we go, godly respect for the place of worship. Tuesday, the week rolls along, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday, Jesus, after cleansing the temple, Jesus begins to teach in parables. You remember them laying down principles that he would evoke questions like, hey, they would come to a question. Hey, pastor, I got a question for you. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. That comes out of the Old Testament. It's called the what? The Shema. I got it on my doorpost in my house. When you go out, there's a little cylinder on both doors of my house, one going in, one going out. And the Jews do this. They touch that. Lord, bless my going out and my coming in. And on the inside of the Shema is the statement, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. The Hebrew Shema. And so Jesus begins to remind them, laying down things out of the old covenant, transferred now into the new. You love me with all your heart. And then Jesus said, the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? And it's not, he's not just talking about the person that lives beside you, because most of you people don't even know the folk who live in your neighborhood. True that? We don't know a lot of the people unless you've been living there a long time. People can live right next to you and you really not know them. So your neighbor, then he says, well, who's your neighbor? Remember the story? Then he said, there was a man on his way to Jerusalem, and he was taken over by thieves. Remember the story? It's called the story of the what? The Good Samaritan. So the moral of that story from Jesus' lips is, everybody is your neighbor. Okay? Everybody's your neighbor. So Jesus spends this Tuesday laying down some principles in which he fully expects the disciples to live out in their days. And then on Wednesday, we call it Spy Wednesday. Spy Wednesday, because of this clandestine spy by the name of Judas. He is going to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He's going to give some tips to where they can find him hanging out. Where did Jesus like to hang out? It wasn't at Bojangles. It was on the Mount of Olives. Jesus hung out on the Mount of Olives, such a beautiful place. The hillside is laden with many, many, many olive trees. And in the midst of the Mount of Olives, there's a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means what? Olive press. Squeeze. It's where he would be squeezed like never before. He would be squeezed so much to look forward to the death on the cross in his future that the Bible says, Mark says, he sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. Have you ever sweat blood? No, you haven't. But he was experiencing this. He sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. Spy Wednesday. This was the turning point that would result when Judas gives out the information. This is where you can find him. This is where he is. You know, pay me. You pay me, I'll show you where. And Judas sets Jesus up for arrest. Thursday comes. It's called what? Maundy Thursday. Why they call it Maundy Thursday? You see all this stuff in the paper, you read about it, you see it on social media, and some of y'all have been serving the Lord a long time, you scratch your head and say, what is that? How many of y'all, come on, be honest, what's Maundy Thursday? See there? Lots of hands. Maundy Thursday. Maundy's a Latin term. Maundy is a Latin term where we get our modern day word mandate. So what's Jesus releasing on Thursday? Somewhat. Some mandates. And his mandates go like this. It's not hard. The mandates are, I want you to love and I want you to serve. This is one of his staff meetings. Right? This is modern day language. I just like to call it Jesus having a meeting with the pastors. Okay? He's having a meeting with his team. And he's having a meeting to tell them, this is what I'm expecting of you. This is where that classic verse comes in. We're talking about living Christianity. I said that a moment ago in the service. It's not just that you're not here to check the block today. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited that you're here. But you're here today to be inspired to go to a new level in your walk with Christ. And Jesus was meeting with them on Maundy Thursday, and the mandate was, it went like this. Jesus says, I want you to love people and I want you to serve people. And he begins to illustrate. He does something that's just so off the chain. He gets a basin and starts washing their feet. Have you ever washed anybody's feet? Some folk have some ugly feet, y'all. Have you ever seen some of them that don't even cut their nails? I'm sorry, I know y'all going to have lunch right after this service, but have you ever seen some of them nails that just go like this? They just kind of curve right on over. And if you did cut them, you need a pair of pliers, y'all. I'm serious. Some folk got some ugly feet. That's why I go with my wife to get my pedicure. Come on, somebody. I'm sitting up in the chair. It don't bother me one bit. I'm sitting up in the chair. How lovely on the mountain are the feet of those who preach the good news. Go ahead and clean my feet. I don't want them things looking like horses' hooves. I want some nice looking feet. Amen. I'd take them off and show them to you, but I'm just going to keep on going, okay? He gives a mandate, y'all. He's laying down some mandates, and he said, I want you loving, and I want you serving. And after he washes their feet, he has communion with them. You know, they had the little matzah bread, the Passover, but he shocks them. He says, this is my body. This time, this is my body broken for you. And then he gives them the wine, the cup, and he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. And Jesus is saying, listen, things are going to switch from here on out. Because see, in a little while, he was going to be arrested. And then he was going to die on Friday, on a cruel death by the Romans on the cross. Pastor Noli gave you some detail on that during his time on the pulpit. He's going to die on the cross, and everything is going to change. Communion. Communion now looks back to what Christ did. He says every time, we're going to take it at the end of the service. He says every time you eat this bread, every time you drink this cup, what are you doing? You're showing forth my death. I know some of y'all are like, man, I ain't taking it. I ain't taking it because I'm still cussing like crazy. I ain't taking it because I'm still playing the lottery. I ain't taking communion because I still want to take a drink now and then. He says, examine himself. Listen, he's got something totally different in mind. Okay? He does want you to examine yourself. He does want you to deal with the sin in your life. But don't you sit here and bypass communion today because you got some hang-ups. Because can I just tell you something? Everybody in this room has hang-ups. Okay? Everybody in this room has hang-ups. Everyone. And so we bypass communion. I'm not going to take it because I don't want him to just strike me dead right here in this pew. No. It's not like that. They were so abusing the time of the Lord's Supper when that was said. They were so abusing it. They turned it into a party. Okay? But this is a time to examine ourselves. Let's say, Lord, I know I need better than this. And today I'm just reminded once again, here we go, of your death on the cross. I'm reminded once again of what you did for me. I'm reminded once again that when you met with the disciples on that Maundy Thursday, your mandate was for me to love people and serve people. And Lord, I haven't been doing that so well. So today, as I take this bread and as I take this cup, I commit to do your mandates better. Are y'all got this? Come on, you got this? I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. I'm a simple preacher. Try to get you to understand what I'm talking about. That was Maundy Thursday. On Friday, we call it Good Friday. It wasn't good for him, but it was good for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God, verse 17, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he said on the cross, what? It is finished. He completed that work. And you and I try to spend our time adding to it. We try to add to. Like you gotta work yourself to make heaven. You gotta work yourself to be declared righteous. You don't. If you've come to the Lord Jesus and you've confessed your sins and you said, Lord, I'm just jacked up. He said, yeah, I know. Okay. I'm just jacked up. I give you my life. Help me to make something out of it through your help. That's what he wants. Okay? That's what he wants out of you. He wants you to keep on trying to do better and better and better. Because when he was talking to his disciples, he was trying to get them to understand it's all about loving and it's all about serving. It's not about you. Okay? So he died on Friday. Saturday was a dark day. Some folk call it Black Saturday. Why? Because he's just, body is in the tomb, stones rolled over it, it's dark and cool in there. This is a picture right here of the tomb in Jerusalem. I've been inside that door probably 14 times myself, that same little door right there. This is the one in Jerusalem. This is the one where Jesus was placed. I've been in there. People tried to tear it up. That's why you see blocks, you know, people try to tear it up. They try to repair it. And it's stooped in there, and you can see where he laid. And he wants us to take a trip there. Maybe not literal, but he wants us to take a trip there in our mind all the time on that Saturday where he lie there in the tomb, declared what? Dead. He's dead. It's dark Saturday. But then Sunday comes. Okay. Did you feel the shift in the room? Okay. See, y'all got the built-in illustration right here, the sound effects. All I said was, then come Sunday, and you, oh, okay. Sunday comes and things change, y'all. All right? Things change. Sunday comes and Jesus has risen from the grave. He's risen from the grave. He tells us of his plans for us. And in Ephesians, he said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved. It's by grace. I said a moment ago, you try to help, you try to add to the cross, you try to make more out of it than what you need to. For salvation is a what? Is a gift. Remember that. It's a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. You can't do enough. You can't. You can't do righteous acts enough to merit you salvation, because he's already given you salvation as a gift, not by your works, so that you won't then be able to boast about it. Okay? Well, I gave so much to the church last year. Well, good. We need your money. We need your money to propagate the gospel. We need your money to touch the nations of the earth. 182 countries are watching us on television today. Every day to the week, this program, this service, will hit 182 nations Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then they'll change it next Sunday. We're touching the earth right here from this little town. And so when you give money here to Kingdom Builders, you're helping us to propagate the gospel to the ends of the earth right here from this little town. Have you ever been given a gift? We said salvation's a gift. Have you ever been given a gift? Somebody gave you something, and clearly it was a gift. You didn't have anything to do with it. It was a gift that was what? Given to you. How many times do you feel like when somebody gives you something, then you are indebted to them? Okay? Like, here's just a common example. I got an invitation to Joe Boy's birthday. You know, his daughter's having a birthday party. Well, are we going to go? And then the wife will say, well, sure we're going to go. When our son's birthday was last year, they came and they brought us a gift. Y'all ever had that conversation? Come on. We're all right, okay? When somebody gives you a gift, you feel like some way, somehow, you owe them something. So you send a thank you note. Hey, I just want to take a moment to say thank you for remembering me. This was so kind of you. You feel this obligation. Look at Romans again. Go back to the very first verse I gave you. Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we do have a what? We do have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh. King James. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And if you read that passage in Romans 8, he talks about how he wants us not to live after the flesh, but because he has given us this free gift that we just talked about from Ephesians. By grace you've been saved through faith. That not about you, but it's a gift. Because he has given you this gift. You know what he wants in return? He wants a life. What did Jesus mandate to the disciples on that Thursday? Love and service. He says, here, listen guys, this is so easy. Don't miss it. Because he has given you this great gift of salvation, now he wants you to go out and love people and serve people. Okay? That's what he wants. You're not earning anything because it's a what? It's a gift. However, there is some sense, as Paul says, some sense of an obligation. In fact, if you look at this word, aphiletes, that's Greek. Aphiletes in the New Testament, you can't go to Webster. Don't remember I said that Wednesday in our teaching 2 weeks ago. Don't run to Webster's dictionary to look up a Bible term. You go to the original language. What is the original language? It's Greek. So Greek for debtor is aphiletes. It's one who owes another, one who's held by some sense of obligation. They're bound by this duty. It is really the root of it. It is the goodwill that is due to someone. I owe them some goodwill. I want to do this for you. Why? Because of what you've done for me. Okay? Are you getting this? And that's what God wants out of our lives. That's what he wants. That's the Easter challenge I have for you. Paul says there's an obligation here. And you know, those who live, the Bible says, Romans 8, 5, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Flesh comes easy, y'all. Flesh comes easy. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what? What the Spirit desires. James Dobson says when you're in conflict with your spouse, you have maybe, you know, you're having some words and your wife says something to you. James says, don't respond. Breathe. Come on, husbands, try it. Don't speak real quick, okay? Just breathe. Now, I can see y'all this week, your husbands and wives. Your wife's going to say, I see you doing what the pastor told you to. Stop breathing, okay? Talk to me, man. Stop breathing. No. Breathe. Just don't speak so fast. Be slow to speak. And just think about this before you say something, because what you're trying to do is top what she just said to you. She said this. Now you want to say this, okay? You want to get, well, my mama, what about your mama, okay? No, okay? You heading south quick like that, okay? So he says, those who live according to the flesh, the fleshly desire is just going to come out. You're going to do it the way you want to do it. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Your debt is that you live your life not in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him, listen, this is where it's at. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you, and what do you have if you're a Christian? You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. He's inside of you. And if that be the case, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit lives in you. Listen, the very same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave that day is the very same Spirit, here we go, that puts life in you and the very same Spirit that releases life through you. That's why you can love people. Okay? It's not easy. You have to walk in it. You have to be intentional about it. Sometimes I have to do things as a pastor that I don't want to do. Okay? But I'm not going on the flesh. I'm going on the Spirit. And the Spirit says, do this. Sometimes as a Christian, I don't want to like somebody. Okay? I don't like them. Okay? And then the Holy Spirit says, you don't have to like them, but I want you to love them. I don't want to love them, okay? Are y'all getting this? So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, and that's the reason why you can love the unlovely. That's the reason why you can serve those who you just want to say, get a job, okay? You know, I've been guilty of this. I walked in a grocery store sometime and see somebody riding one of those handicapped carts. And I said, man, you ought to walk down these aisles just like me. Get rid of some of that weight and then you won't have to. No. That's flesh. That's flesh. That's flesh. So what God wants you to do is go in and say, hey there, how are you today? I'm doing fine. Hey, pastor. Oh, my God, they know me, okay? I'm so glad I was kind to them. You know what I'm saying here? Flesh is so easy. But can I tell you something? You have some debt to pay because of the, here we go, gift that he's given you. Your debt is this. You do the same thing Jesus told the disciples to do that last week of his life. Hey, I want you to love people and I want you to serve people. Okay? I want you to love people. I want you to serve people. Why? Ephesians 2:10. Look at this. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God already had on his mind that he would redeem you, put his Spirit, stay with me here, put his Spirit inside of you so that he could see you be that workman, doing good works for him. Good works don't save you, but they minister to people, okay? You're the salt. You're the light of the world. You're the hands and the feet of Jesus today. You're the smile. You're the kindness. You're the hope. You're the peace. This is what your debt is to him. This is your obligation. Pastor Wallace, I don't feel like I can do this. I don't feel like I'm fulfilling what I should be in my life or even can do this. Look at Romans 8:14-16. I put a little note inside my notes here, slowly. So I'm going to read this slowly. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, these what? These are the children of God. And some of you are saying, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. You're not God's child. Not all humanity are not God's children. Well, God created them. Yes, he did. But you are not God's child until you come in through adoption. I don't like that. You have to argue with God, okay? It's not my word. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your what? Adoption. You're adopted to be what? A son. The Spirit brought about your what? Adoption. Now you're not a slave, you're a son. And by him you can cry, Abba. Abba translates what? Daddy. Hey, Daddy. Daddy, Papa. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Those of you that are sitting here today, those of you that are watching online, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you're one of God's children or not. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Okay? You know if you got it right or not. Galatians 4:4-6. God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might, here we go, Paul's tearing it up all in the New Testament, Paul said it here, that we might receive, what? Adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son, where? Into your heart. So you have a relationship with Jesus, you've been adopted. Adoption didn't mean squat to me. I didn't understand it until my oldest son, Joshua, and his wife were told, you will never have a child. Okay? They spent thousands of dollars, special techniques, the state of Ohio, went south on them. She ended up in the hospital near death trying to have a child. So they just decided, well, we're just going to accept the fact that we are never going to have children, so we are going to adopt. And then I have people throw that question at me. Well, you got grandkids, right? I said, yeah, I got grandkids. I have three adopted grandkids, and then I have two in Raleigh. You know, we have grandkids. Well, I know those in Raleigh mean more to you than the ho, 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 ho. As God is my witness, I don't see any difference whatsoever. The adoption doesn't change anything. My level of love for them is off the hook. In fact, I love my grandkids more than I love my kids. Stand up. Poor fella. Poor fella. Zach's getting married in September. Everybody that clapped, get him a gift, okay? Liz, beautiful girl, loves Jesus, has a child. I'm getting grandchild number 8. And you know what? I love that little girl. She was all back there in the outreach yesterday, just having a good time, taking her little picture with the rabbit, collecting her eggs. I already see her as my grandchild. Okay? Now she's the bloodline, if an ancestry.com would prove nothing. No, she's not related to you. No. She's already, I'm already seeing her. That's my 8th grandchild. Okay? See, these are workings. These are not workings of the flesh. These are workings of the Spirit, y'all. And God has a tremendous sense of humor. So after my son and his daughter adopted 3, okay, Alexi, Levi, and Caleb, and guess what? She's pregnant, okay? Got two more, okay? So then she has 2 kids. After a doctor looked her in the face and said, Cassandra, you will never bear a child. This is the God we serve, okay? This is the God we serve. We talked about miracles, amen? This is the God we serve. Amazing miracles. So God sent his Son, born of woman, born of the law, that we might receive adoption. So I know adoption in the natural, and I look at that and I say, that means God has adopted me, and I'm one of his sons. Okay? So adoption is a biblical plan, friends. It's a biblical plan. I've been adopted into the family. And now Jesus is my what? Come on, don't be weak. Jesus is my what? Jesus is my what? Y'all are confusing me. Okay. Jesus is my brother. He's my brother. Okay. Me and him are brothers. He's my Savior. But I've been adopted into his family. And I'm on the level of brotherhood with him. Okay? Adopted into the family of God. Wow. If you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, Pastor, I just feel like I've been missing some things in my walk with God. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because today we're going to serve communion. How many of you don't have the elements of communion in your hand? Would you raise your hand if you don't have communion? We got several here. Just raise your hand. Someone will help you. Help us guys get some communion there. Hold your hand up until you receive it. Jesus has taken me in as his brother. So Jesus has a father, so now he's my father. Okay? Raise your hand. She's going to give you the elements of communion. Is there anyone here that could say, Pastor, I'd like to be able to participate in this, but I just don't feel like I've got it all right in my heart. But today, God is doing incredible things inside of my heart. Today, Pastor, the Lord is drawing me back unto himself. Amen. God's drawing me back unto himself. I'm not here to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to, hey, would you come on down here to the front? No. If you just say, hey, Pastor, pray for me. I feel like today I'm making some spiritual headway here. Just raise your hand right quick and put it right back down. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Others, God bless you. God bless you back here. Anybody else? Pastor, I just feel like, thank you, right here in the middle. I'm making some spiritual headway. People are making decisions. God bless you. God bless you. I feel like I'm making some spiritual headway here. Thank you. God bless you. So I want you to take communion today. I want you to take communion today because when you do, you know what you do? You show forth the Lord's death. You proclaim his blood, his body made it possible for me to be adopted into his family. Amen. Jesus was sitting around the table with these disciples, and he was sharing Passover with them, and he said something very different that night, that Thursday night. He said, and you can peel back the top layer and you'll find a little wafer in there, a little round wafer about the size of a dime. That's the bread. Just peel it back, hold it in your hand. And Jesus said, this is my body. This is my body. So you're holding in your hand a symbol of his body. And he said, it's broken for you. Paul said, as often as you do this, you show forth his death. So the Bible says he blessed it. Father, thank you for this bread. Thank you for what it means to me today that your body was broken for me. And that same night that you shared this with your disciples, you said, hey guys, I want you to start loving and I want you to start serving. I want you to be kind to people. I want you to give people. He said in John 13:35, because he said, by this all men will know you are my disciples. People will know you're a Christian because of the love you have for people. Lord, thank you for this element of bread in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and partake of the bread together. Then as they sat there, it says, in the same manner, he took the cup also. Okay? Now you can peel the other layer off. Don't y'all like this communion? They kind of make it like the drive-thru today. We call this the happy meal right here. This is the happy meal. So you got the cup in your hand. He's sitting with his disciples that night, and he says, he took the cup and he says, and this is the new covenant in my blood. See, before it was looking back, the blood was looking back to the old covenant in Egypt where they sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. And he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll protect you. But now he is saying to the disciples, this is the new covenant in my blood, not the blood of the Old Testament lamb, but this is the new covenant in my blood. And so when he looks at you, he looks at you as one of his righteous ones. I know you don't feel righteous. I know you don't. I know you don't always act righteous. But when he looks at you, that's what he sees. And Lord, thank you for this blood. Thank you for this new covenant that gives me credit for what I don't even deserve. Only because I've accepted you. Only because of what you did. You received the sacrifice of your son in my behalf. And I just want to thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. You can partake of the cup. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive that gift. Receive that gift. And when you receive a gift like that, you know what it makes you feel like? You need? I just feel like I need to do something. You do. You know why? Because you're a debtor. You're a debtor. You're in debt to him. And he wants you to pay up, okay? He's not charging you, but you feel that sense of indebtedness. So what he wants from you is the same thing he told his disciples he wanted from them. I want you to love more, and I want you to serve more. I want you to love more, and I want you to start washing people's feet. Okay? Open the door for them. Oh, let me get that for you. Oh, yeah. Hey, ma'am, let me get that for you. I just want you to serve. Oh, excuse me, sir. I'll take your basket while I'm taking mine. And you take both your shopping cart. Some of y'all don't even put your own shopping cart up. But he wants you to take your shopping cart and the guy over here. Hey, I got that for you. Oh, thank you. You know what that is? That's service. That's service. Oh, let me get that door for you. And you run over quickly. You say, come on here. You know what I say to them? I'd say, there's still some kind people in the world. Just smile at them. Okay? He just wants you to love and serve. Love and serve. Hallelujah. If you made a commitment to Christ today, congratulations. Congratulations. If you made a renewal of your faith, congratulations. Congratulations. If you searched your heart and said, I just got too much flesh, I need more spirit, congratulations. You got it. You got it. Let's stand together and worship him one more time. Amen. Listen, prayer team, ministers, elders, pastors, please come. Stand across the front. Come on, right quickly. These guys are going to step out of their seats. They're going to step out of their seats right now because you know what they're here to do? They're here to pray for you. All right? They're here to pray for you right now. If you have a need in your body, Pastor, I'm struggling with my health. I'm struggling with family issues. I need this. I need that. I need the other. Just step out of your seat right here. We have people to pray with you, to agree with you, amen, to encourage you, to inspire you. Someone may speak a prophetic word over you today, all right? Listen, we get it done fast here, man. We're not wasting time. That's why we get out of church at a reasonable hour, because you don't have to stand in line. You're going to get instant service right here. Amen. Come on, sing it, guys, as they minister to people.
He knows my name. trust you with my life. Oh, no fire can burn me, no battle can turn me, no mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand and I'm walking in your victory, 'cause your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, 'cause you hold my hand. No fire can burn me, no battle can turn me, no mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand. And I'm walking in your victory, 'cause your power is within me.
Listen, if you need healing, if you need healing in your body, step out. Come on, just step out. Just prayed for someone a moment ago, felt the power of God just like that. Come on, step out. If you need healing in your body, come. Today's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Let Him resurrect something new in your body today if you need healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you go. Just come. Just come. Just come. Hallelujah.
Oh, how you tell me.
I love it when you invite people and their teenagers are coming down the aisle. Come on, teenagers. Hallelujah. Come on, there you go. Teenagers. All three, four people came, all of them young people. Come on. Come on, just come on. Yes!
Oh my.
Your name. Aren't you thankful for a God who sees you? Aren't you thankful for a God who loves you? Aren't you thankful for a God who gave his only son to die for you? We have so much to be thankful for this morning, don't we? When you're leaving the sanctuary today, be careful for the little ones. And make sure you stop by the photo booth that Dorothy has set up for us. It's big enough for the entire family and some of your friends. So make sure you gather together and get those pictures. If we have any guests with us today, please stop by the Welcome Center right in the foyer. It's the middle. And we have a little gift for you. And we'd love just to talk with you just for a few minutes. Father, we thank you for giving us your son who died on the cross to save us from our sins, heal us from our infirmities, and to give us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Help us to realize every day that, Father, we are debtors to our spiritual selves. And Lord, not to live in the flesh, but to live in the spirit. Father, give us kindness. Give us forgiveness. Give us love for other people. Lord, help us to be more like you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.